In a recent conversation I had, and I say recent, within the last couple months, in a recent conversation I had, somebody made a comment, I heard a comment, that the shepherds are the reason there are so many different splinter groups that we now see in the world today. That's an interesting comment, because today I'm going to throw it back, and you'll pretty much understand. It should be an interesting to hear the comments from this sermon. And I guess the point I say there is straightforward. Whenever we make an accusation like that, we're not taking any personal responsibility upon ourselves. And that's what the statement's going to be here. Now, in that situation, I would probably agree if somebody made the statement that the shepherds are the reason why there's so many incorporated groups. But is that the reason why there's so many, in this situation, splinter groups? If somebody wasn't speaking to anybody in that situation, what would take place? Yeah. A different conversation, not the same one, not the same individual, but in a different conversation, I also heard a comment. The Bible tells us the shepherds in these last days will be looking after themselves, not the flock. Is that a true statement? You know, there's several verses in the Bible that actually tell us that, isn't there? That's an interesting comment, because we're going to get into some of that today. And what I'd like to do today basically is state, you know, there is some, obviously we understand that there will be false prophets, there will be false teachers. But what's your responsibility in that situation? That's what we're going to talk about. Are these comments true? Well, let me say, if they're true, the implications are salvational issues for the shepherds involved, aren't they? Because what does the Bible state if you actually misdirect somebody or you take them away from God's truth? That individual involved. Do we look at it from that premise? So we're talking about salvation. On the other side of the fence, it's salvational for you. Because in your situation, if you're not adhering to the truth, and you actually are misled by somebody that is speaking or espousing falsities, then your salvation is in question. So is this an important topic today? Well, I'd state this is everything. I say this, and the conversation came about because of somebody that in this situation has left several groups, and they're listening to several groups, and I sit there, and it was an interesting conversation with them. And they very much believe that, quote, their statement to us is, well, you're very close. You're probably one of the closest of the groups. Well, that's an interesting comment. But I'm going to ask you directly in the situation, if you don't believe it, can you live it? Implications mean a lot. Today, I'd like to talk about, if I can word it this way, these shepherds, these individuals. And what the Bible tells us to do regarding some of these. And let me ask in this situation some questions before we begin today. First of all, where's the personal responsibility? Where's your foundation? Let's turn to Matthew. Let's pick it up this way. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now, what's the rock that we're talking about here? The foundation, the truth that God gave, Christ gave, his words. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Its foundation was unmovable, is what Christ is saying to us here. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, you hear it, but you don't do it. In this situation, shall be likened to a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell. And the great was the fall of it. Yeah, a lot to be said here. The foundation, the situation, is our foundation unmovable? Well, how could somebody lead you astray, it would be the question I would ask, if your foundation was unmovable, if you were adhering to God's principles and his truth, and not those of a man. In other terms, can we blame in this situation the ministers for taking apart or making astray 100,000 plus individuals? You sat with a lot of them. Can you hold fast men? Or is there personal responsibility in the situation going to actually have to take place eventually? Something we need to look at. When does personal responsibility in the situation come into effect? Why did Christ give the parable of the sower? Was it for the other people? It's pretty easy to identify the parable of the sower, isn't it? Well, they didn't fall on good ground. Which ground are we supposed to be on, brother? Where do you apply your life on a daily basis? Can a man in this situation lead you astray if you have the proper foundation? Topic of my sermon today asks the question, and we need to answer it. In this situation, did God leave you comfortless? My statement directly. Will his flock in this situation be left unattended? To give this sermon a title is straightforward. Safeguards. And that's probably the one word. What's a safeguard in your mindset? Safeguards to not fall short of eternal life. And basically, this is a foundational sermon. Where's your foundation? But I'm going to ask a couple questions. Because this direction and these two comments were actually pointed at what? They're pointed at ministry in direction. I've had a lot of conversations recently with individuals that are pointing at the ministry. I look at that situation and say, good. I'm sorry. That's a good thing. And you'll see it when I'm done. Hopefully, when I'm done today, you'll be able to see what I'm saying. Today, I'd like to cover 3 points. And these 3 points concerning our lives and these times we now live in. I would like to address the Bible's teachings about one thing. About being led astray. Second thing, those that scatter his flock. A third point would be those that smite their fellow servants. And I'd like to reference it to what I said earlier, these shepherds. We should apply to ourselves. The first safeguard, wording it that way, deals with what we call God, what God tells us to do. Tell me when the Bible, you don't read the same thing I do. It says to study the fruits. Do you see it? Do you study the fruits of the individuals in this situation that are, quote, teaching you? Do you study the fruits of those people that you sit with every week that are sharpening you up, that you get on the phone with, whatever the conversation might be? Study the fruits. That's the first thing you're supposed to do. Matthew 7, verse number 13. Either ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by what? This is Christ speaking. This is our Creator. This is the point. You'll know them by what? Their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, this first point is pretty straightforward. By their fruits. So now all of a sudden you have an obligation. It didn't say you're going to be led astray in the situation. It said that your evaluation needs to be by how these men act and what their activities and actions are, doesn't it? Now, it's pretty easy to make the point and you start directing towards something, but in this situation here, there's an accountability being done. Is it just to the ministry? Absolutely, it's not to the ministry at all. The accountability that Christ is staying here is you. You need to actually evaluate the fruits. You do. Now, the ministry needs to be doing what they should be doing, don't get me wrong, but your evaluation is going to actually take place here. Are the fruits evil? Well, it wouldn't be from a good tree. And that's really the technical, I guess, situation here. Years ago, let me just make a statement here. Years ago, I sat, it was at Newport. I'll just give you the whole scenario. Years ago, I sat in Newport, and I was in a pool room. And in this pool room, swimming pool, giant swimming pool, I'm sitting on the side with chairs, and I'm talking to the husband. And my wife's quite a ways away talking to the wife of this individual. And our kids were playing with their children in the pool. And as they're playing, they're talking, he asked me a question. And his words to me was, have you ever read Ezekiel 34? At the time, I had nothing to do with ministry. At the time in that situation, I said, well, I don't think so. Probably not. What does it say? And a strange place to have your, obviously, we knew that it was a setup, having this Bible right there with him in the middle of a place of a pool. And when we're at a hotel on the coast at the Feast of Tabernacles, but he shows me Ezekiel 34, and we read it. And as I read it, I sit there and thought to myself, and I guess the words kept going to my mind, is where are we going with this? What are we talking about? Because at that time, we had already had seen a situation where the minister had came in and embezzled funds from the church, if you want to put it that way, from the body that we were with, and maybe that's what he was directing, etc. But no, that's not what he was talking about. He was holding accountable all ministers for what was taking place here. Let's read it. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. You know, I bring this subject up because of this. In this situation, recently, very recently, somebody made a statement to me and says, have you not read Ezekiel 34? Have you not read Jeremiah 23? So you know what I did this week? This week, I've thoroughly read Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23. And we're going to dissect it today. We're not just going to just talk about it. We're going to actually look at what the words mean. And what I mean by that basically is this, is I came up with some different concepts, if I can word it that way, when I did this. Let's do it together. As we do this, let's read Ezekiel 34. Let's begin in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Well, we understand what that means pretty much. Who are the shepherds of Israel? In this premise, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now you read this pretty straightforward. I've read it. I never looked into it any much further than this. I didn't think I needed to. Because once I got to those first three premises, I sit there and thought to myself, I know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about these guys that are sitting there, they're espousing whatever they can from the pulpit, and they're drawing up, they're actually devouring widows' houses, they're doing all these things intact. They're taking the tithe, they're spending it incorrectly, etc. Isn't that what you'd evaluate this as? That's what I did. I'll tell you, that's where my evaluation came. Eat of the fat, the list goes on from there. Let's take these first three verses and let's look at what they say. I want to do this with the first premise in mind. Remember, this first safeguard I stated, we need to be looking at the fruits. And what was being stated here by this prophet? Looking at the fruits. What did God's Holy Spirit draw him to actually come to see? Ezekiel 34 verse 1, word by word. Shepherd means pastor. Well, that's pretty straightforward. We understand that. It means a herdsman. It means a keeper of the sheep, a keeper of the flock. So, with that concept in mind, we can pretty much understand that. Shepherd is exactly what we read here. It's a shepherd. So this warning in the situation is for the keepers of this flock, his flock, the ministers. That's what this is a woe to. Woe to you ministers. Now what ministers are they talking about? Every minister? What I found interesting was the next part. As I started breaking it down word for word, I looked up the word feed. I found this pretty interesting. The word feed, I believed, was pilferage, in this, how it's being drawn. I mean, how you utilize it, however you want to word it. The word feed in the situation is exactly the same word as shepherd, word for word. It's the exact same word. Feed and fed in this situation, with these verses, and as we get into Jeremiah 23, means shepherd. Okay, some people saying, so what? Let's read it again. And woe to the word the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to you shepherds of Israel that do shepherd themselves. Does that change the context? Commentaries are pretty interesting here, because the commentaries say they no longer look to God for the answer. Now they look for who? Themselves. They're looking at their own viewpoints and their own concepts. So it's not feeding. The situation here is they now espouse themselves as the center of the universe rather than reverencing Christ. Is that going to change the context here? Let's continue. That do shepherd themselves, and should not the shepherds shepherd the flocks? Aren't they keepers? Isn't that what it's about? They forgot what they should be doing. And more than that, they're concerned only with themselves, their own teaching, their own dialects now. Boy, this says a lot about it, a lot of different splinter groups. It's quite a slap in the face. You eat the fat, there's no difference there. You eat the fat is exactly that. You're eating the fat. You're eating the increase. And you clothe you with the wool, the finer linens, the finer things. And you kill them that are fed, shepherd. You kill them that have been shepherded. What does that mean? You kill them that knew the truth. But ye shepherd not the flock. Okay, So, just with those three verses, we take those interesting programs, and you think to yourself, it's relating to the individual not doing what he should be doing. Well, in this situation, actually, it goes a step beyond that. It doesn't just tell you what they should not be doing, but it tells you that they're not doing what they should with the flock, but they're taking care of themselves only, doctrinally, with analyzation, with justification, with rationalization. And everything they have now at the center of the universe is not to God, not to Christ as it should be, as that's where the woes come in. It's to themselves. Yeah, I've read Ezekiel 34 now. I understand what it means. Will every shepherd in the situation be in that program? I'm saying read it as a fruit. You take a look at it and ask yourself the point. When you hear people arguing and scuffling in a situation that call themselves God's servants, if their argument is because they are not in the hierarchy, or they haven't had reverence, or somebody's questioning themselves, maybe we should look at it. If they biblically can't substantiate what they're doing, are they shepherding themselves or shepherding the flock? It's not God's words anymore. Shepherd means fed, the same word, shepherded. They didn't in this situation. We keep going. Let's go to verse number 4. The diseased have not, and everything in this situation here we need to look at the same way. You judge them by their fruits. Christ said this. So you take a look at it. The diseased have not been strengthened, neither have they healed that which was sick. Neither have they bound up that which was broken. Neither have they brought again that which was driven away. Neither have they sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have ruled over them. A lot to be said there. These various points in the situation are the fruits of these individuals these servants are manifesting. These are ministers we're talking about, brethren. These are woes to the ministry. Is this what we see in the world, in this world we see today? Verse number 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. What does this mean? And they became meat to all the beasts in the field when they were scattered. How do you become scattered, brother? It says there's no shepherd. How do you become scattered? Okay. Now we're back to personal responsibility. The only way you can become scattered is you've lost your foundation. That's it. Because why would you be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine if your foundation was steady and strong? It's amazing to talk to somebody or an individual that has exited, quote, an organization. An organization that used to know the truth. And when you do that, they always start in some tangent that's way off base. And you sit there and ask yourself, where did you get that from? They've allowed other doctrines to infiltrate what they already knew. Shepherds, feeding themselves. We're talking about Ezekiel 34. Keep going. My sheep wandered through the mountains. And when I, as I read this, think of the same question here. This question is the fruits. Can you judge and evaluate the fruits? My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, fed be the same thing, shepherd themselves, and they shepherd not my flock. Is there some personal responsibility going to happen when Christ returns, brethren? You bet. Is there now? You think that God's turning his back on the situation now? Shepherd means fed, the same word. They didn't go after lost sheep. Keep continue looking at the fruits. They continued espousing their own doctrine, their own beliefs. The safeguard in this case is the reading of the fruits. Keep reading this. This chapter is pretty amazing as you continually put the words in place. We're gonna keep going because we have a lot more to cover, but this is a pretty amazing chapter speaking to this group of individuals. These shepherds in this situation, did they strengthen the brethren? Did they heal the brethren? Did they go after the lost brethren? Did they try to fix that which was broken, or did they actually stem the divisiveness? Finally, how was their rule? Was it with cruelty or was it with fear? Is this a shepherd of God? That's the question you need to ask yourself. A lot to be said there. Turn to Jeremiah 23. take Jeremiah 23 the same way. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 1. Woe be unto you, pastors, same word, believe it or not, that destroy the scattered of the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. What a surprise. Same word. That shepherd my people. Ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Now, we get to the first two verses and we ask ourselves the situation here. What have we seen? Well, we see a list of fruits. We destroy, scattered, we've driven away, we have not visited. And these fruits, in this situation, have they been manifested? Are these fruits of God? What does Christ say he's going to do? Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Feed, meaning to shepherd, all the way through this thing. Now, as we get into feed a little later, it's not going to say the same thing. But I thought it was interesting when we take a look at these verses that are actually against ministry, if you want to word it that fashion, these individuals are espousing. What does it mean? These individuals are individuals that will be shepherding themselves. They will no longer be looking for God for the answers. They're going to put the entire universe around themselves. It's a different program. Fruits. Are we aware of the fruits? How does the minister in this situation, we need to ask, scatter God's flock? Isn't that a premise we need to be contended with? How can you scatter? Turn to Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3 and verse number 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the south and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger ever forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take one of you of the city and two of the family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Point straightforward here, it comes this way. These verses speak of ministers which will be acceptable to God. But what must they be doing in this fashion? Reading the fruits. Are they espousing knowledge? Are they teaching with understanding? Are they espousing of themselves? Psalm 78, the book of Psalms. Reading the fruits is the first premise here. Psalm 78 and verse 70. He chose David also his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought them to feed Jacob and his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. In this situation here, a minister should have integrity. These are fruits you should be looking for. 1 Peter 5. First premise is a safeguard. What's the fruits we should be looking for? Rather than espousing in this situation, have you read Ezekiel and Jeremiah, I guess my premise goes this way. Why aren't we looking at the positive and saying, what's actually happening correct? What are we doing right? What's happening right? 1 Peter 5, begin verse number 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples and samples to the flock. So a minister should be an example as well. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of the glory that fadeth not away. Now what's the reverence to here? When the chief shepherd should appear. So the point comes this way. Those examples that we're reading about in Ezekiel where individuals are actually shepherding themselves. They no longer relied on God's word, God's knowledge. There's the difference. Now, your job and your responsibility is by their fruits. Tell me the truth is not a fruit. If you're not looking at it and actually proving all things in the situation, then your responsibility falls where? Are you just going to follow those words that an individual states? Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And you continue reading. There's a lot to be said here. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So, first of all, fruits, being humble, not proud. This situation, being an example, having integrity. What should be taking place? It's pretty easy to sit there in a group and pick apart anybody. To pick apart a minister in the situation, I guess my point would be this. If they are feeding themselves, if they are stating that stuff, then you need to read it, and you need to actually understand it and approach it the way you should. But in the situation, if they're espousing God's word, your job is to prove it. That's a fruit. Is that what we're doing? Personal responsibility. The word feed in the situation here with 1 Peter means this. To finish the pasture for food. To actually provide food in the pasture. That's what the shepherd should be doing. To feed. Different word. Not to esteem a man's ideas, but to feed with God's truth. What should a shepherd's fruits resemble, brethren? What should be their purpose? This is pretty direct. Turn to John 21. John 21 and verse number 16. Excuse me, let's begin in verse number 15. So when he had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, Jonas, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said this to him a third time. Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Feed in the situation, feed my sheep. Feed meaning a Christian teacher to promote in every way the spiritual welfare of the members of the God's church, his body. Feed's taking a different program here. What is Christ requesting? To actually be a shepherd. Not a personal agenda. He's requesting it to be a spiritual way of life. Verse 17, feed, meaning to promote spiritual welfare. What did Christ in the situation ask Peter to do, brother? Follow the exact concepts that he taught. Nothing else. Everything he requested, he did himself. Now, these ministers are these shepherds in the situation that people want to proclaim in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. They should look it up to see what it says. These shepherds are shepherding themselves. Shepherding themselves. If anybody takes their eyes off God, is it going to be any different? Not for a shepherd. Not for any individual that's trying to obtain eternal life. Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which thou hast purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, that your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Meaning to tend in the situation. Meaning to tend, to furnish with pasture for food. Meaning in the situation, straightforward, if someone takes off, to tend to is to provide the pasture. To actually deviate in the situation would take someone that lost focus or took their eyes off of what God has given you. Responsibility is still on us. Individuals. Our personal responsibility is not within each other. Our personal responsibility in this situation is to convoke. There's nowhere in the Bible you can tell me it tells you not to convoke with those of like mind. But my statement to you would be this way. In this situation, how can grievous wolves enter, not sparing the flock? And how in this situation can men rise, speaking perverse things and draw away disciples? Unless they're not foundationally stable. Still a personal responsibility. Acts 20, verse 31, continuing. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, that to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. You don't look at the physical. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them which were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Talking here about Paul's statement and what he's saying to the church of Ephesus. But I guess the point comes this way. If you have someone that is taking, as we read in Ezekiel 34, and all their ambition is to take, we need to read it as a fruit. As we close this point, bring it to an end, we need to actually talk to ourselves. These are all fruits. Is the ambition to give and be a servant, or is the ambition to receive? Point number two. Another safeguard is what God gave us concerning biblical principle. I talked to somebody earlier this week. I sit there and said, well, where did you come up with that belief? And their comment to me exactly, quote, well, this minister said it to me. Did you read it? No. Well, let's read what the Bible says. Okay. And we did that. And they stood in disbelief. They didn't understand. If you're not proving it yourself, I guess the point comes straightforward then, doesn't it? Who are you listening to? Who's your salvation with? A mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a wife, a husband, a minister. Salvation is yours. It's nobody else's. Your obligation, your opportunity. Biblical principle, 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and verse number 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, not just his commandments, but all of a sudden his teachings, his principles, keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also so walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write you no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from that beginning, from the beginning. Do you know it, brethren? Do you hold yourself accountable for it? Where's the foundation? 1 John 2, 3 is what that was. Now, 1 John 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Do we have that word? Do you feel comfortable with that word? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. What happens in a situation whenever you tell a lie? First of all, you feel guilty for it, don't you? I mean, you should. And more than that, you have to keep defending it, don't you? God's word isn't that way. Tell the truth shall make you free, quoting the right text. That situation, we know it. We've heard the word. We've lived with the word. We understand the word. Luke One. Do we show reverence in situation to the word of life? This word. Luke 1 and verse 1. For as much as many have taken the hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding in all things from the very first, to write unto thee in the most excellent Theopolis, that thou mightst know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Do we not know those things which we have been instructed? Have we not been given God's truth? Biblical principle. That's a safeguard. If something sounds wrong, are we looking it up? Are we doing what we need to do to pursue it to make sure it's right? And if you can't substantiate it, you need to do your own Bible study, get on your knees, and ask God to show you. We've been shown the truth. In this situation, have we been built with the proper materials? Are we on that rock? If so, you got to ask yourself the question over and over again, why do people change their beliefs? Why should we in this situation be watching to make sure that we are biblically sound? We are sound biblically. Colossians 2. Are we strong and sound biblically? Colossians 2 and verse number 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of Father and of Christ, in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with the enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of the faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Being established and sound in what? Not philosophy, not anybody's opinion, not shepherds shepherding themselves. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Begin at verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. God's going to hold them accountable. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reasoning of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Situation, brethren, how many concepts have infiltrated your mind? How many concepts has infiltrated certain people's mind because they did not look it up? They didn't follow biblical principle. You know, interesting situation there is, as long as they find somebody else to listen, they're going to keep espousing it. You need to become foundationally strong. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is a salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, all as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away in error with the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How do you, in this situation, become unleavened? It's It's a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. If you don't prove what you listen to or what you hear, how can you in this situation stand before God and say, biblically, I've done what I should be doing? Biblical principle is a major safeguard. Don't confuse it with an individual getting up and just espousing long-windedly either. It should be concise. It should be to the point. It's not long statements. Mark 12. Mark 12 and verse number 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses with a pretense, make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. God will deal with them. So whatever they're espousing in this situation, just because it's long-winded, is it right? Don't confuse it. It isn't by appearance that God in situation is going to evaluate a servant. Biblical premise, don't confuse what God views as right with what you view as right. Don't confuse personal interpretation as God's view either in the situation. Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders and wash not their hands, but they eat bread? And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father, thy mother. He that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whatsoever I say to his father and mother, it is a gift that whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. It's just an honor to have me in the family, Ma. Not what God says at all. And honor not thy father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah in the situation prophesy unto you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Biblical principle. What do we hear? Ask yourself a question. Was the administration of the Worldwide Church of God the administration from God? The things that you heard that was taking place and done. Men. It's a biblical principle state. Evaluate it. If the people involved in the situation were just to execute power over another individual, is that from God? Your job is to evaluate the ministry, brother. You should do that. Premise. Read the verses. Utilize Bible principle. Verse number three, or point number three, and I believe the strongest safeguard in the situation we have to offer today. The strongest safeguard in the situation is what? You need to ask God to show you. You need to ask God for the answer. Not to look at your own viewpoints, because you could read it and misinterpret it. But if God's Holy Spirit is guiding it, you can't be wrong. Not just by fruits, etc., because it could be misdirected. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find it, knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what shall man is there of you, whom the son shall ask of bread, and he shall give him a stone, or if he shall ask of a fish, and shall give him a serpent? And continue reading the same situation, what does it say? This is God Almighty you're talking to. You think that he won't help you? How much greater is he than we are? Mark 11. Than any individual is. Mark 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe in your prayers. Do you believe in your prayers? And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Stipulations placed on your prayer, brother? Tell you, turn to 1 Kings. Stipulation on your prayer. Does the motive of what you ask for reflect the answer you're going to receive? Solomon gave us a great example here in 1 Kings. 3, beginning verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. Was he doing what was right before God? Well, there's a stipulation, isn't there? Maybe we need to be doing what's right before him before we come before him and say, well, I don't understand why my prayer is not being answered. Verse number 9, give therefore us thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and not asked for thyself long life, neither asked for thyself riches for thyself, nor hast asked for thy life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself to understand and discern the people's judgment. You know what took place. Is a request in the situation what we ask for in vain? Is it just me, me, me? Is there any difference in that situation from a shepherd shepherding a shepherd? What I believe, no longer what Christ stated to me? There's a lot to be said, what's been covered today. Verse 3 in the situation shows Solomon walked in the correct path. Shouldn't we do the same as well? John 15. John 15. And begin in verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. When the prayer is answered, God's glorified for it. We need to come before him and thank him for it as well. Be truthfully happy. Glorified, for ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, conditional again, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Ask, it shall be done. If we're abiding in what Christ stated. Don't seek your own wisdom. You're going to get answers that are flawed. You're going to get answers that are corruptible. What should you be seeking? James 1. James 1. Verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven from the wind and tossed. And let not a man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not a man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Are we unstable? The key to this point and straightforward is this. We need to believe in what we ask for. Do we? If we are asking, are we seeking something we shouldn't manifest? Do you believe God in situations is going to hear you? What was Solomon's example? I started this sermon with some questions. How are we doing with those questions? Will the shepherds in these last days scatter God's sheep? Yes, they will. It says they will. But you know why? Because we allow it to happen. That's why. If we're foundationally strong, can we be adjusted or moved? It's when we err, when we actually get on our own wave. That's when we get problems. Should we blame ministers for almost 300 different splinter groups? Maybe for starting their own group. But how about those people that exited with them to follow them? You got to have fuel for the fire. If we're doing what we should have done, would they affect us at all? Will there in this situation be any servants of God holding fast to his truth? Revelation 3. Will there be any servants holding fast to his truth? Revelation 3, beginning verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which shall say, they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth. What does it say in Jeremiah 23, verse 4? I will put shepherds. Brethren, it's a straightforward situation. God can do it all for you, but that's not what you're here for. You get to do some work yourself. Are you up for the task? What's involved? Eternal life. Nothing here matters. How you carry it out does, I guess. Have we in the situation not been given safeguards? Can we discern fruits? Yes, you can. Can you in the situation prove it biblical with biblical principle? You've been given that opportunity. You've been given the Holy Spirit, which will guide you to do that. Should you in the situation not be turning to God to show us His will? All these things in question. It's easy to blame a group of men for our woes, as I have written down here, but the truth is, we've been given the truth, or we've been given the tools to show us His will. Are we willing in the situation, not like as we see so many different splinter groups, are we willing to do what we need to do? The shepherds in Ezekiel 34 and 23 are shepherding themselves. They're not listening to God any longer. That's not what we should be doing. That's the safeguard.